Welcome to the Surgical Educator podcast series. I am your host, and today we have an exciting episode on lower GI hemorrhage. Joining us today is our surgeon, Professor Dr. Selvaraj, who will guide us through the various causes, modes of presentation, investigations, and management of lower GI hemorrhage. Welcome, Dr. Selvaraj. Thank you, MC. It is a pleasure to be here. I am excited to share my knowledge on this important topic. Okay, doctor, let us start right in. My first question is, what is lower GI hemorrhage? Well, any bleeding that occurs distal to DJ flexor is called lower GI hemorrhage. This consists of three organs, namely small bowel, large bowel, and anal canal. Good. What are the different causes for lower GI hemorrhage, doctor? Lower GI hemorrhage can arise from many sources or many sites. The key causes include, number one, diverticulosis. These are small pouches of mucosa form in the colonic wall, and they can bleed if they become injured, or it can also bleed spontaneously because of erosion of penetrating blood vessels. Number two, angiodysplasia. These abnormal blood vessels in the colon can rupture and lead to bleeding. Diverticulosis and angiodysplasia both are causes for massive lower GI bleeding. Number three, colitis. Inflammation of the colon lining, often seen in conditions like IBD, that is ulcerative colitis, or Crohn's disease, or these colitis could be even because of radiation colitis or ischemic colitis. Number four, colorectal polyps and cancer. Abnormal growths in the colon, both benign and malignant, can bleed, especially if they are large or ulcerated. Number five, hemorrhoids. Swollen veins in the rectum or anus can cause bleeding. Number six, anal fissures. These are small tears in the anus. This can lead to bleeding during bowel movements. Good, doctor. What are the typical ways in which patients with lower GI hemorrhage present to us? Well, the lower GI hemorrhage patients may present as, number one, rectal bleeding. This could be bright red blood in the stool or in the toilet paper, known as hematochezia, or bright red blood per rectum, or BR BPR. Number two, melena. This is also rectal bleeding, but the color of the blood is almost tarry black. This is due to blood is digested by the bacteria in the large gut. This is usually due to slow upper GI hemorrhage. Number three, anemia. Chronic bleeding can lead to iron deficiency anemia. Number four, abdominal pain. This can occur in cases of more severe bleeding or underlying conditions like diverticulitis. Number five, change in bowel habits. Constipation alternating with loose stools in those who are having obstructing carcinomas or polyps. Number six, tenesmus. This is the hallmark sign for rectal tumor with bleeding where there is a space occupying tumor in the rectum. Patients have what is called incomplete sensation of evacuation of the bowel. This is the typical symptom in patients who are having rectal tumors. Very good, doctor. When a patient present with suspected lower GI hemorrhage, what diagnostic approaches are commonly employed? Good. The diagnostic process involves, number one, medical history. We have to gather information about the patient's symptoms, medical history, and medications like blood thinning agents such as antiplatelet, anticoagulant drugs, or aspirin. Number two, physical examination. Assessing the patient's vital signs and performing a rectal examination is a must. Number three, blood tests. Checking hemoglobin levels and coagulation profile should be done. Number four, colonoscopy. This is the gold standard investigation where direct visualization of the colon can be done using a flexible tube with a camera attached, and biopsy also can be taken up to confirm the diagnosis. Number five, imaging techniques like mesenteric angiogram, CT angiography can help locate the source of bleeding. RBC tagged technetium 99 scintigraphy or isotope score scan is most sensitive to pick up even 0.1 ml per minute of bleeding in lower GI hemorrhage. Very well explained, doctor. What is the approach to management in lower GI hemorrhage? Good. The approach depends on the underlying cause for the bleeding. Number one, supportive care. Patients may require intravenous fluid and blood transfusion to stabilize their condition if they are hemodynamically unstable. Endoscopic therapy. If a specific bleeding source is identified, then endoscopic interventions such as cauterization, APC, that is argon plasma coagulator, or heater probe, or hemoclip, all can be tried to stop the bleeding. Surgical intervention in severe cases, or when endoscopic therapy is not effective, surgical intervention may be necessary to control bleeding. Apart from this general care, the individual diseases need particular treatment. So what are they? Number one, if it is diverticulosis, we can just give rest to the patient, give IV fluids and antibiotic. This is more than enough in mild cases. Normally, in diverticulosis bleeding, the bleeding will stop in 3 days' time. We have to do surgery only if the bleeding lasts more than 3 days. Number two, if it is colitis, treating the underlying inflammation with medication is enough. Surgery usually only in very severe cases of ulcerative colitis, we do surgery. Those patients who are not responding to the medical treatment. Number three, if it is polyps or cancer, surgical removal and possibly chemotherapy, if it is malignant, can be done. Number four, if it is hemorrhoids, dietary changes, topical ointments or gels, and in severe cases, we can do surgical procedures to remove or shrink these hemorrhoids. Number five, anal fissures can be treated with sitz bath, dietary high fiber diet, and topical medications. and in chronic fissure, then we can do the lateral sphincterotomy. That is a surgical procedure. Well explained, doctor. When is surgery required actually in these cases? Okay. Surgery is considered when bleeding cannot be controlled by other means, that is by medical or endoscopic means or methods. The patient's condition is deteriorating rapidly. Number three, there is an identified mass or lesion that needs removal. Number four, recurrent bleeding poses significant health risk. Number five, could not localize the site of the bleeding. After doing all this investigation, then we have to do what is called total proctocolectomy. Good doctor, what is the prognosis for these lower GI hemorrhage patients? The prognosis varies depending on the cause and how promptly we are treating the case. Many cases of lower GI hemorrhage can be successfully managed with medical interventions or minimally invasive procedures. Early detection and appropriate management can significantly improve patient outcomes. Thank you so much, Dr. Selvaraj, for sharing your expertise in lower GI hemorrhage. This has been an enlightening discussion, and I am sure our listeners have gained valuable insights into this topic. It is my pleasure, MC. Remember, understanding lower GI hemorrhage is crucial for any medical professional, and staying updated on its causes, presentations, and management strategies is essential for providing the best care to our patients. That is absolutely right, doctor. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Surgical Educator Podcast on Lower GI Hemorrhage. Stay curious and keep learning. Let us meet next Sunday in another episode. Until then, bye-bye.